It's time for the game plan. As we talk Maine Black Bear football, brought to you by ClearPoint Capital. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718. And by Creative Print Services on the Dowd Road in Bangor. Visit them online at creative-ps.com. Bob Lucy joining us as always this afternoon. Hello there, Robert.
How you doing this afternoon, Rick?
I'm doing well, thank you. Ready to bring this football season home with the regular season finale tomorrow.
Yes, the battle for the musket and a lot of other things. So looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yet another tough loss last week, and we've seen a few of them over the years, Bob, but I don't know that there's been one as frustrating as that loss last week at Albany, especially in light of the NCAA reviewing some of those penalties and reversing at least one, if not more.
Yeah, it was a very, very difficult loss for Maine, and they played their hearts out. They really put everything into it. I thought their effort on several goal line stands was phenomenal, and it was really difficult to see it all end the way it did.
Absolutely. And so now the Black Bears head into this last game of the season riding a four-game losing streak. Maine 2-8 on the season. But another thing that I don't think you and I have seen in all our user broadcasting games, four of those eight losses have come by a combined 10 points.
Yeah, no, we've never seen that before, Rich. You know, when you look at the numbers, seven of Maine's eight FCS games this year have been decided by 10 points or less. And as you mentioned, and then they've lost four FCS games by a total of 10 points. So they've been very competitive. They've had opportunities to win most of the games that they've played this year. And so I think this is going to be another competitive, hard-fought game, because when you look at New Hampshire, four of their six CAA wins are by 10 points or less, including two CAA wins by 5 points or less. That's just the way the league is this year. Games are very competitive, they're very close, and they typically come down to that fourth quarter.
Now, this New Hampshire team has been the tall hog at the trough for much of the season in the CAA, but now they go into this game with a record of 7-3 overall. If they win tomorrow, they get a share of the conference title, and I would think, knowing what we know about how the playoff system works, that would be enough to not only get them a first-round bye, but they would then likely host a second-round game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think so, Rich, and they're very good in the dungeon, as we know, at Durham. They've got a record since 2008 of 65-16 at home.
However, if they were to lose tomorrow to the Black Bears, 7-4 overall, 6-2 in the CAA, I think they probably still get into the playoffs, but I don't see them getting a first-round bye, and I suspect they'd have to go on the road in week one.
I would think so too, Rich. I think they will still get in, but they may be a little bit more of a bubble team, but they likely would have to go on the road.
All right, let's talk about the game and break it down tomorrow as the Black Bears take on the Wildcats. Let's start with Maine's offense tomorrow. They need to get that run game going, no doubt about that. That has to be a key. They need an efficient Joe Fagnano tomorrow, and they go up against a defense that's been pretty stingy against the run this year.
Yeah, they're second in the CAA in run defense, only allowing 114 yards rushing per game, 3.7 yards per rush. And I think, Rich, the front four is about as good as we've seen this year. They've got two defensive ends. Josiah Silver was a second-team All-America last year when he had 21 sacks, and or excuse me, when he had 12.5 sacks. Now he's got 8.5 sacks this year. So he's got 21 sacks over the last two seasons. And then Dylan Rue, the other defensive end, he's got 10 sacks this year. So between the two of them, they've accounted for 18.5 sacks. They're getting good edge rushing from those two. And then inside, they've got two big tackles. Nico Kavikas, a 6'3", 280-pounder. And then another one, Neil Politano, 6'3", 300. Those guys are run stoppers. So I think that front four is good, and they're physical.
And they've got some veterans back there as well in the secondary. Randall Harris, a Central Michigan transfer, and Pop Bush, who I'm pretty sure is about 31 years old. He's been around forever.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Pop Bush has got 172 career tackles, 15 and a half tackles for loss. He's got three interceptions over his career. He's a ball hawk back there. He's very experienced. He's a wily veteran, like you said. And they're solid all around on defense, Rich. But I think that front four really is a difficult group. They attack on the snap. They've got 29 sacks this year. So they're going to be coming after Maine. And Maine's going to have to be good on the ground because they don't want to be in those predictable passing situations third and long, because they're really going to turn the heat up for those two defensive ends on the pocket.
And I would say with that in mind, you want the ball in the hands of guys who can get you yardage on a consistent basis. And for Maine's offense, that would have to start with Xavier Scott.
Yeah, I think it does, Rich. Xavier Scott's got the whole package. He's got lightning speed. He's big at 220 pounds. He can be difficult in space, very slippery. And he just runs with so much desire. We saw it again on the road at Albany, dragging people, refusing to give up. It's like a rugby scrum as they're trying to get him to the ground. And so I think he needs to have a lot of touches as a runner, as a receiver. He's been very, very productive. And when you look at what he did last week, 8 rushes for 78 yards and a touchdown, that's a 9.8-yard average. 6 receptions for 58 yards, who is very productive. And I think Elijah Barnwell's been playing really good. He, again, didn't get a lot of carries against Albany, only 13, but he really got those hard yards for Maine, and he's been doing that all season.
And if they put the pressure on, then something like a screen pass that we haven't seen a lot of might be an effective way to handle that for the Bears.
Yeah, I think that could slow down the rush for sure. And Maine is going to, again, they're going to have to protect the ball. They've done a phenomenal job with turnovers this year. Maine is first in the CAA and ninth in the country with only 9 turnovers this season. So they've been outstanding. And over the last 5 games, they've only committed 1 turnover.
Yeah, if you look at the things that have improved greatly this season, Jordan Stevens' first year as head coach, I think you would start with protecting the football, and right behind that would be cutting down on what had been several years of racking up a whole lot of penalties.
Well, since the beginning of the 2017 season, Maine had been going into this year averaging about 80 penalty yards per game. Right now, they have 55 penalties for 395 yards. By my math, that's 5.5 penalties per game and less than 40 yards of penalties per game. So that is, yeah, something that I think has been very notable, the discipline, the lack of penalties. In fact, last week at Albany, when have we ever seen this, Rich? 5 penalties for 15 yards.
Yeah, of course, you know, 3 of those came in the final seconds of the game when a sequence you and I will never see if we do this another 26 years, and that is 3 penalties in 4 plays inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, well, when you're on the 3-yard line and it's half the distance, yeah, that's not much of a penalty in terms of yardage.
We're breaking down the game plan for Maine and New Hampshire. Bob Lucy here on Downtown. Now, let's take a look at the offense for New Hampshire. They've got a veteran quarterback, Max Brosner, who has been very, very efficient this season and one of the best running backs in the league in Dylan Lauby.
Yeah, Brosner's playing really good, Rich. You look at his numbers this year, he's thrown for 2,317 yards, 19 touchdown passes, only 5 interceptions. He's completing 64% of his passes, averaging about 232 passing yards per game. You know, he's a young guy. He's only a sophomore. He missed all of last year due to injury. He actually started and played as a quarterback in 2019. But I think he's very much the leader of that offense. He's poised and he's making really big throws at critical times to get these wins. Last week, the The Wildcats drove 89 yards in the final 2 minutes and 21 seconds to overcome a 4-point deficit against Rhode Island and get the win on a 26-yard TD pass to a freshman wide receiver, DJ Lincoln, with 17 seconds left in the game. And it was a tight throw into a narrow window on the left side of the end zone. And he's been doing those types of things throughout the season to pull out some of these games. So he's playing very well.
And Dylan Lobby, not only one of those guys that can run the ball quite well, over 800 rushing yards on the season, but also a terrific receiver out of the backfield.
He's the full package, Rich. He's got 38 receptions for 302 yards and a touchdown. Dylan Lobby is third in the nation in all-purpose yards, 168 all-purpose yards per game, and he's first in the nation in punt return average with 18.4 yards per return. He has returned a punt 92 yards for a touchdown. He has returned a kickoff 100 yards for a touchdown. And as you said, racked up over 800 rushing yards and 302 passing yards. He is extremely dangerous. He's very shifty and slippery in space, and Maine is going to have to cocoon him. Last year against Maine, he had a personal record 294 all-purpose yards.
Well, what do the Black Bears do defensively? They've got some injuries. They're dinged up, especially in the secondary. They haven't been getting a lot of sacks this season. Do they take some risks tomorrow to try and mitigate that?
Well, I think this series over the years has really been about who can rush for more yards. And when I look at this series and I went back and looked at the data, in 19 of the last 22 games between Maine and New Hampshire, the team that gained the most rushing yards won the game. And so I think Maine needs to establish that ground game. They need to control clock. New Hampshire's done a good job at controlling clock this year, averaging 32 minutes and 46 seconds. So they've got to get that ground game going so they have some offensive balance. And they also need to keep their offense off the field. I think it's going to be a very physical game because Maine's playing that who's tougher than who football the last couple of weeks and playing it well. And this is a good run defense, as we know, and a team that hasn't got lots of rushing yards per game, only 116.7 yards rushing per game for New Hampshire. But they've got big play potential, not only in the rushing game, but with receivers and the quarterback they have. But I think that's number one for Maine. Get the ground game going, work on the clock control, and stay out of those third and long situations.
Yeah, a lot to play for both teams tomorrow as the Black Bears look to end the season on a positive note. And they ought to be able to take some inspiration from some of the guys who will be there tomorrow as they'll be honoring members of the 2001 and 2002 playoff teams.
Yeah, those were great teams, Rich, and I have fond memories of following the 2001 and 2002 team into the playoffs, and guys like Jake Eaton at quarterback, he was a real difference maker and a dual-threat quarterback. You know, he was very dangerous running the football, and, of course, he was a very good passer. So look forward to seeing those guys tomorrow. They'll give a little inspiration to this current Black Bear team.
Absolutely. Going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Looks like a great weather day. A little chilly, but some good November football weather for Maine and UNH and the battle for the Bryce Cowell musket. It bears repeating in case people don't know. Can you give us a brief tutorial on Mr. Nutting and the musket?
Well, the Bryce Cowell musket, Rich, is named after former Maine coach Fred Bryce and UNH coach William Cowell. It was originally presented to the winner of the regular season matchup in the late 1940s. The musket, as you know, is a flintlock rifle made by Ebenezer Nutting of Falmouth, Maine. Not sure exactly when. It's somewhere between 1722 and 1745, and it's a George I period rifle. It has a 43-inch barrel and is rifled to a .65 caliber, Rich.
There you go. All you need to know.
About that stuff, but it kind of goes with the game.
There you go. Well, we'll see who whether it goes home to Durham or stays right where it belongs in Orono tomorrow. 12 noon start for the Black Bears and the Wildcats. Parda, thanks so much, as always, for breaking down the game plan with us, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that sounds good.
Bob Lucy with us. The Game Plan on Downtown, brought to you by Creative Print Services. Take your business to the next level with professional and innovative work from Creative. The experienced team at Creative Print Services works with you to provide full-service design, print, marketing, mailing, and billing for your business or organization. Full-color printing, business cards and forms, brochures, flyers, and more. Fast, accurate printing is their specialty. At Creative Print Services, Dowd Road, Bangor. A proud supporter of the Black Bears, call 947-2250 or visit creative-ps.com.